We bought some camera equipment. I won't be here for possibly 4, 5, 6 weeks, but it's ordered to get better pictures for YouTube, for Facebook Live, but also that'll go, then we'll be able to start doing YouTube Live, or doing YouTube. And we do have a channel established on YouTube, and then we'll also work on having it on our Facebook, on our website. So, if you have had this great desire in your life to be a cameraman person, let me know. It's a lot of fun. I actually, when I was in the Navy, I built an entire TV studio on a helicopter carrier, which is about 550 foot long. We had about 70 stations throughout the ship, and that was a lot of fun. And then, for those that don't know, for a few years, I was actually a cameraman at Channel 17 back in the early days when we had one camera, and it was a lot of fun because when they went to something or took somebody, I had to move the camera rapidly to make it look like we had a second camera, even though we only had one camera. But it's a lot of fun to do that. So if you have any interest in that, please let me know because... We're trying to go into the 21st century. We're about 20 years behind, but we're gonna get there. So if you have any desire to do that, let me know. Amen. Oh, you're already rolling? Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Anyway, title of message is We Are in Christ, Part 2. Just to review from last week, I'm just going to read this statement. We are a new creation. We are a holy nation. We are a chosen race. We are a possession of the Lord, the living God. We are a royal priesthood. And we're free from condemnation. And we can walk in humility. And that's why we're all of these things. Because when we walk in humility, we understand that Christ did it at the cross. And it's not because we're exceptional people and we have these particularly good things that we're capable of doing. It's because our God, through His infinite grace, has blessed us with much, has made us these people, has given us these gifts. The truth of the matter, without Him, we wouldn't have any of it. Just wouldn't. So, Father, I pray that You would help us understand the blessing You are to us and who You have made us. That we would walk in that and not the lies of our enemy, of Satan, the world, the flesh. We would truly walk in who we really are in You because of Your grace, Your mercy, Your goodness, Your kindness, Your very person. And the church said, Amen. So, what else did He make us? Seventh thing, and it's already been kind of alluded to in the songs this morning, sons and daughters. 2 Corinthians 6:18, ESV. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. This is a powerful section of scripture because of what it's doing. See, Paul is taking a quote from 2 Samuel 7:14 and he adapted. What it said in 2 Samuel 7:14, I will be to him a father and he shall be to me a son. Do you see the difference? See, it was God in 2 Samuel was talking to David through the prophet Nathan. And he was talking to David about his son Solomon. and how Solomon is going to be blessed and how he's going to be the king of Israel. But ultimately, it's like so much in the Old Testament, he was prophesying about Jesus, who is going to be the King of Kings. So why did Paul go back and grab that one and adapt it? Because he's making a huge point that both men and women are his children. That God is a father to both men and women. Telling both that they are his sons and daughters, that they are his family, that we all have a place in the kingdom of God. That's powerful. That's amazing. Everybody. It doesn't matter. Every female and male. And even going back to last week, as we talked about every tribe, every nation, every race, and every tongue are sons and daughters. Talk about inclusion. There's nobody excluded. All it takes is each person coming to the place and saying, I can't do it by myself. I don't have the ability. I need you, Jesus. I need to figure out what happened at the cross and ask the Holy Spirit to apply it to my life. That I can't save myself. But then when I turn my life over to Jesus, then he brings us all in, all, everyone. Because of the cross. Because of the cross. Because of what Jesus did there. The relationship that was formed. The eternal relationship that was formed, that cannot be broken, that was formed at the cross. And all we have to do is go, I can't do it. I need you. To use Terry's words earlier, I need to be born again. We need to have that relationship based upon us coming to him and accepting him. Like it says in John 1, verses 12 and 13 in the New NLT. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. See, God did it. He did it. He did everything. He provided us everything. If you have a house, you need to thank God. If you have a car, you need to thank God. If you have air in your lungs, you need to thank God. Because we're his children. Because we're his sons and daughters. And someone might say, oh, I know this. Do we? Do we live our life 100% of the time knowing this? Focusing on him, centering on him, giving thanks to him for what he's done and all the things that he's blessed us with? It's not about condemnation. It's about growth in him, about moving down the line, about walking out our sanctification, being who we really are, that he made us. Because we were reborn, we were given birth by God. And it came from God, born, reborn, not of the flesh, not of blood, but of the Spirit of the living God. Say with me, we are his sons and daughters. Let's say it. We are his sons and daughters. So you sound excited. Let's try it again. We are his sons and daughters, his children. No offense to any parents in here, but I can't think of anybody I'd rather be the son of. I love my dad, didn't like his name, Elmer Frederick. I was almost a junior. Thank God for small favors. And I love my mom, but I'm glad I'm the son of the living God. The next thing, we're fruit bearers. Because we are in Christ, we are fruit bearers. John 15:5, NLT. Yes, I am the vine, Jesus. You are the branches, us. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That word remain in the Strong speaks to a person remaining in, dwelling in, living in, staying in that place. 24/7. 365 for the rest of your life. It means our lives are totally 100% centered on Him. We have to remain attached to the vine, to Jesus. And as we do, we become fruit bearers. We become who God has made us to be. Not just producing fruit, but that word in the Greek means great, means extensive fruit. It's not by buying a banana or two. It's having a whole forest of fruit. But the opposite is, if we don't do anything, what's it say? We can't do anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that word nothing is an interesting definition. Not even the least. Not even one. Do you know what number in the English language is before one? Zero. Zilch. Nada. And it doesn't matter if you're moral. It doesn't matter if you're immoral. It doesn't matter if you're good. It doesn't matter if you're bad. Because being moral and being good doesn't cut it. It doesn't gain you anything. Because, as it says in Luke 18:19, there's none good. No, not one. But who? God. He's the only good one. Unless we are in Christ, the fruit that we produce is less than one. It's kind of hard to hear, but it's true. So all this stuff that's going on where people are trying to do all this stuff outside of Christ, that's why we need to pray for our politicians. I don't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, a constitutionalist, an independent. I don't give a rip person. It's clear that we need to be praying so that they walk in the wisdom of God and not the folly of man. And when we do, want to come to the place that we want to produce good fruit, then we make sure we stay attached to the vine, to Jesus, and we will produce amazing fruit, both quality and quantity. I didn't write it. It's a promise. If you're attached to Him, you produce amazing fruit. If you're not attached to Him, all you do is for naught. The next thing, the ninth thing of all of the list of things we've been going through so far, we can do all things. That does not mean we can snap our fingers at any particular point in time. Sorry, I can't do that. And then God just does what He, you know, it's like He's a butler or something. It's not what we're talking about. See, what Paul is saying here is that through God's grace and by His strength, because it says, who strengthens me, that we have the ability to go through anything and all situations that might occur in our life and come out on the other side still worshiping Him, still praising Him. I know what I'm talking about. I had doctor's appointment with my VA doctor, who I stay in the system, and she's just an amazing doctor, and she just does all these things and is constantly harassing me about doing this and doing that, and usually takes two or three appointments with her before I listen. One of these days I'll learn to listen a little quicker. But she talks about how we have the ability to go farther and be better than we are. Now, of course, that opens the door that's by God's grace and through His strength. What Paul's saying here is, in other words, in every situation Paul faces, he wins. He's not defeated. He doesn't lose. But he says it's because of him. It's because of the triune God who gives him the strength, and I'm adding, who pours out his grace. Because his grace is sufficient, as the scriptures say. Paul understands that he serves this amazing God that provides him all he needs in every situation he might find himself in. Even those situations that you may not like. I've been in those situations. Again, going back to my VA doctor, she goes, "I'm glad you're like a cat, because you still got four lives." William Hendrickson says this in his commentary. "It's surely a wonderful testimony. Whatever needs to be done, Paul can do, for he is in Christ." Philippians 3:9. "Being by the indwelling presence of Christ's Spirit and by Spirit wrought faith in vital union and intimate fellowship with his Lord and Savior." He's just saying what we've been saying, that we need to focus upon the Lord. We need to focus and focus and focus and seek him and worship him through all things, and that his Spirit will lead us through everything. See, Christ's grace is sufficient for us. This is amazing stuff. No matter what situation we might find ourselves in, we can walk through it. Because there's three other people walking through it with you. Actually, more. But there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Psalm 23:4 NLT says, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me." He's right there with us all the time. I think it can take more faith to walk through something than to be healed or delivered. But we can do that, because we know we win. We know we've won. It is finished. It's taken care of. It's because of whom we are in Christ, who God made us. Because God provides us all that we need, provides us all that we need to walk through life. Who here knows that life throws some hard punches at times? That it's not pleasant. But the Holy Spirit is always right there with us, leading, guiding, comforting, speaking truth to us, showing us the way to walk, providing us all we need, whether it be wisdom or encouragement or strength or energy or grace or leadership or whatever. In every situation, all the time. The next is part of the reason we can do it, because we're dead. We have been crucified. Galatians 2:20 NLT. "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." We have been crucified with Christ. We died with Christ. We were on the cross with Christ. No, wait a second. I wasn't born until 1,940 years later or whatever. But the truth is, spiritually speaking, when Jesus was crucified, so were we. William Hendrickson again says, Paul's saying, as a self-righteous Pharisee who based his hope for eternity on strict obedience to law, I, as a direct result of Christ's crucifixion, have been crucified and am no longer alive. He's saying that once it was all about me and doing what was right, and now I know it has nothing to do with me, but it's about what Jesus did. It shoots out of the water. The whole idea of salvation by works, or because I'm a good guy, or legalism, or whatever. It's not about my morality. It's not about me being good. It's not about, look at all these things I did. I donated $25 million to this and $25 million to that. I didn't tithe. I gave 20%. Or I stopped by the road and changed the tire, and I've done that 8 times in the last year. It's not about that. It's about what Jesus did. It's no longer I that live. It's my life. It's not about me. It's not about me and what I do. It's not about my abilities. We need to understand that the abilities that we have and the gifts that we have are because God gave us those things and because He made us who we are. Truth of the matter is, our wisdom, our abilities are folly before God. We can't do it. But it's about our dying to ourselves and allowing Christ to live within us, which means He's in control of us, which means, I'm going to use 2 words here people don't like, He is our Lord. And He is our master. We have to totally submit to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and follow the Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. Who we were, who we used to be before we were crucified is not who we really are. He made us a new creation, as we talked about last week. See, when you read the book of Galatians, you begin to see that what was in question in Galatia was they were under pressure to adhere to the law and separate themselves from the Galatian converts because they were Gentiles. Most of them were anyway. And Paul was used to thinking that way. Remember Paul? He's the one that went around killing people, putting people in prison. Even was on his way when the Lord touched him. But no more is he saying that. No, no, no. See, Paul understood at this point, when he's writing to the Galatians, that what he has is because he gained it through faith in Christ. He gained it because of the strength that was poured out into him by the Lord Jesus Christ through faith, as we should. Like Paul said in Philippians 3:9, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. Because we were crucified with Christ. And it is no longer us that lives. And it's all about Christ who lives in Him, in us. And when you take all of this and put it together, it helps us not to walk in fear, which is the next one. Do you realize that we are fearless? That's how God sees us, that we are overcomers of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. ESV, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. This could also be written, when you look at the Hebrew, God did not cause us to have fear, or God did not cause us to be fearful. This is a big one. Who here has not walked in fear in the last week? All too often, and I'm king of this one, we walk in fear. But God didn't create us to be fearful. He created us to be fearless. See, it's the unholy three, you know, Satan, the world, the flesh, that encourages us to walk in fear, who is constantly lying. And I've used this before and I'll use it again, I'm sure, but the old cartoons where you got the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other, and the devil's right there telling you, it's all over. This is the end of life as you know it. You're going to be miserable. They're going to attack you. They're going to slap you around. They're going to spit upon you. You'll probably not see your 28th birthday. By speaking lies to us, by deceiving us. But God gave us a mind of power, of love, of self-control. We are to fight any tendency that might be there, any temptation that we have that comes to us, to walk in fear rather than trusting God, which I think is the opposite of fear. Instead, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. He is a spirit of power. He is a spirit of love. He is a spirit of self-control. So here's the truth. Listen to this statement. If we walk in fear, then we are fearing the unholy three's persecuting power more than we trust God in whatever situation that is. We are saying we believe the enemy of our soul more than we trust God. Instead, we must recognize at all times who we really are. Sons and daughters, people who have been born again, who can walk in faith, trusting God 110% of the time. People, we are God's children and we have won. That doesn't put a smile on your face. I don't know. I mean, read the end of the book. We can be fearless. We have a future. Jesus is returning. I don't care what theology you have on when he's coming or anything like that. He's returning. We have a future. It doesn't end with 6 feet of soil. It doesn't end when we're pushing up daisies. It doesn't end if it looks like we've got something going on in our lives and we go, it's not fair. It didn't end when I flirted with death 5 times now. That's why the doctor said I've got 4 lives left. I told her I didn't accept that. We have a bright future, an eternal future. Why should we walk in fear? What can the enemy do to us? Kill this body? Sends us into the presence of the living God. See, we are only to fear the Lord. Psalm 112, verses 1 and 8, and the fruit that comes with it. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. The result is laid out in verse 8. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. That's a good word. That's a good verse. They're confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. There's people in here going through things that it breaks my heart that they're going through. I wish they didn't have to. I wish their life was not like that. But God's with you. He's with us. Every situation I've faced, or it could have been the last situation I faced, it was amazing, the peace that was there. Didn't mean there wasn't pain. Oh, man, when I had the aneurysms, let me tell you, on a scale of 0 to 10, it was about a 47. If you want to know what a pain like that is, if an aneurysm is about to burst, pull out your sledgehammer and start hitting your head. But let me tell you, the peace that was there, it was so amazing. Because that's our God. That's who He is. So we don't have to fear. We just don't have to fear. And just this whole thing about COVID, we don't have to fear. There are people praying for you every day that you won't be exposed, and if you are exposed, that you won't get it. We don't have to fear. And there's people praying that it ends soon and very soon. I promise you, the more you draw closer to the Lord, the more fearless you will be. The next one and the last one for today, the 12th one of the series. We are the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:37, ESV. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. I like this verse. I love this verse. The word "you" is plural. So Paul is speaking to all of us. From all of the Corinthians with all their wonderful things that they were doing, you know, abusing communion, not expelling a fellow brother was doing horrible sins, suing each other when they shouldn't have been doing that, criticizing the apostles, which they were very good at, and on and on. And yet Paul is saying, you are the body of Christ. And it goes even to us perfect folks. Paul is speaking to all of us, no matter who we are. He's saying we all are the body of Christ. The, capital T, capital H, capital E, body, the only body, the only body, the only body. There is no other. There is only one. All different parts making up one body, all consisting of people who are created in His image and yet different. If you are a believer, you are part of the body of Christ. It's just the facts. You can take it to the bank. End of discussion. No further discussion needed. It's my humble but accurate opinion. Yet, this scripture goes on to say that we're all individuals. Now, what's that say? You still have your identity. You still are you. You still are the person that Jesus and God went to the cross for. You're still the person who was created. You haven't been asked to give up anything. As far as your identity goes, yeah, you have to give up things like think more highly of myself than all the rest of the people. No, we're to think more highly of others than ourselves. And yes, we have different abilities. We have different gifts. But we're individuals. But we're part of a body who is equipped to build, to strengthen, to encourage, to edify and to comfort the well-being of the entire community, the entire church, the entire body. The Glasgow Prophetic Center said this in one of the words that sent out last week. Now is the time to be my body. And I prophesy that to all of us. Now is the time to be the body of Christ. This world, like never before, needs to see the body of Christ. See all these things that I've been talking about. The worship team wants to come back. If you don't want to come back anyway. So who we are? Sons and daughters who bear fruit and who can do all things have been crucified with Christ and walk fiercely before Him as individual members of the body of Christ. And if we add last week, listen to this. This is who you are by God's grace and by His design. We are sons and daughters, individual members of the body of Christ who are a new creation, a holy nation, a chosen race, a possession of the living God and a royal priesthood, who is free from condemnation while doing all things that bears fruit because we have been crucified with Christ and can walk fearlessly and in humility. You need to type that out and put it on the mirror. Don't let it puff you up, because remember, it's by His grace. That's who we are in Christ. By His grace. That's pretty powerful.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing. That should make you smile. That should make you do a tap dance. Even if you can't tap dance. What an amazing God we serve. He is indescribable. So we have a choice. Do we believe in the fear, the lies that the enemy of our soul gives us? Or do we believe that He is faithful and He's an amazing God and He will take care of us no matter what? It's our choice. We have that choice to walk out each and every moment of each and every day, of each and every week, of every month, of every year. It's just really that simple. And it's really great that when we don't, because I have failed in this area many times in my life, that He doesn't turn His back upon us. But instead, He extends His hand and He comes, says, come, my daughter. Come, my son. Let me walk with you. Let me help you to grow, which He will do. We serve an amazing God, a glorious God, a God that loves you more than you even understand. And I thank God for that. Amen. So let's close with worship.